Good to gather the Lord's church, worship the Lord together. Let's get right to it this morning. If you would turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and find verse 13. We're going to look at verse 13 today. Kind of that verse will be a jump-off point for the teaching from God's Word this morning. We're going to learn about not growing weary or losing heart, as the Apostle Paul just mentions it here in verse 13. We will start there. And I'll have you turn to many passages in the Scripture along the way in relation to that verse and our topic. So today's message is really a topical message, one that flows from verse 13. Go ahead and grab your outline so you can follow along. You got the outline there. I got some verses in there for you. And I wrote more than we could cover today, but I wanted to give you some verses about what doing good is and what being wary is and God's hope, God's answer, God's direction. God's teaching to us to deal with that. Paul doesn't mention anything here about it, but the Word of God certainly does. Let me just set up where we're going this morning as you find your place. Last week, about not growing weary, as we ended the message, I mentioned this verse and just talked a little bit about it. This verse falls within some strong commands of Scripture. These commands are toward those not participating, providing for themselves or for others. Paul seriously confronts their sin. That's what verses 6 through 14 or 6 through 15 are about. Paul is confronting sin seriously, and he's having the church confront the sin also, because this verse falls in the serious command for the church to disfellowship from those not participating in providing for themselves or for others. That's what we learned all of this. That it's the third step of church discipline, which with those in unrepentant sin, the church is disfellowship with them. It's part of the admonishment the church does to them, to a brother and sister in Christ. It's to win them. That's what it's for. It's a win when we respond in God's word the way God wants us to admonish one another and help each other deal with sin in our lives, and we turn, repent, and turn back to Christ. It's a win, is what he said. And so this verse falls in the midst of all of that. He just says it. It's really interesting how he does that. But all that teaching was last week, and I won't cover all of that. That was last week's lesson. But look at verse 13. Listen to this verse and amidst that scenario that I just kind of gave you. Paul just drops it in. Look what he says. He says, "But as for you, brethren, do not go weary in doing good." That's pretty interesting. He just drops it right in there. He doesn't teach anything about it. Doesn't say, "Well, let me help you with not growing weary or losing heart," and I'll tell you why I use those two terms. So in our verse, the Apostle Paul exhorts the church in Thessalonica to persevere in doing good. It's not a command like the other things in the text. It's not a command, you know, to not grow weary or to do good. It's an encouragement. It's an exhortation, encouragement, so they don't lose heart or grow weary in well-doing. It's like what Paul did in Galatians 6, where he said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good," right? It's giving recognition that you can grow weary. And we mentioned that through the service already, and I'm going to mention a little bit more. Yes, that happens in the life of believers. That happens in our lives. We lose heart. We grow weary in the things that we're battling in this life that are going on here. It's a very simple scenario. And Paul doesn't want them to lose heart in providing for others because others aren't doing that. But we want to kind of unpack all of that today. Paul's concern is that those participating in providing for themselves and for others, they're self-sacrificing. For the body of Christ, for the church, this is the early church, this thing kind of goes on, you lose your jobs, you don't have enough food, those kind of things, and people are all just kind of participating. His concern is for those that are not in unrepentant sin, that they not grow weary in doing good at participating in providing. Why? Because of the burden of those that are in sin. That's a reality, you guys. That's a reality in the life. There's people living for the Lord, trying to live for the Lord. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's righteous completely and everything, but it's a journey, and we talked about it in Sunday school today. You know, they're embracing that. That's going on, and they're doing that, and then there's others that are around them that are part of the church, and they're not, and you can grow weary because of what's going on. I want you to get the point here. Big group helping out, giving of themselves, but also some not helping out, giving nothing. And he says, don't grow weary because of them. You could do a whole message on how that shows the impact that the church family can have on each other. And this scenario plays out in many more ways than just participating and providing, right? Right? It does, right? Are you with me? That plays out in many, many ways, right? It plays out within the church family, plays out within the body of Christ, with individuals, plays out in the world. Sin does this. Sin does this. Other sin weigh heavy on those seeking to honor Christ with their life. Amen? It does. Now, we got to work through that and all that kind of thing, and it's not really sinful that it weighs heavy on you. Your responses can become sinful, and God doesn't want us to grow weary or lose heart. He desires us not to, but this is the reality of life. Sin does this. It weighs heavy on those seeking to honor Christ with their life. Hard circumstances do this also. You can have hard circumstances in your life. Weighs heavy of you following and persevering in the things that God has for you. Physical challenges do this. Financial difficulties do this. Trials, tribulations, and persecutions do this also. All these things, sin and the challenges of life, can weigh heavy on those seeking to live for the Lord and push them or us to grow weary, to quit the battle, to do what God calls us to do. That's real. That's the reality of Christianity. God wants to answer that. He wants to deal with that. So perseverance is a major part of the Christian life. To keep doing it, isn't it? Perseverance is. I'm going to persevere through this. I'm going to keep going what God wants me to do. This is who we are in our humanity. These are real things going on that Paul's talking about. And he said, you know, because of what was happening, I don't want you guys to grow weary of doing good. Because I know you can. And I know you can, and I know we do, and I know the reality of that because of life's challenges, because financial things. You know, let's just take our country and everything that it's going through, and we want to uphold all that we can. We want to stand for Christ. We want to do all that we can for righteousness and good and all those kind of things. But it's turned. It's went away. We don't want to grow weary or tired of doing what the Lord has us to do we, just because the place we live is changing? Are you tempted to lose heart? What do you guys think? Well, see, that you know, that's reality. That's real, right? So, we can pray and ask God to intervene and do some things and change it back and restore all those kind of things, all that. But, you know, God doesn't want us to grow weary even if it gets 100 times worse. And that's the thing that we want to get a hold of, what we want to understand from God's word and the truth. Earthly circumstances aren't the reason why we're going to persevere, isn't the reason why we're going to have strength. Isn't the reason why we're going to continue to live for the Lord if he just, right? It's him. So Paul mentions it. He doesn't teach anything on it. And it really pricked my heart 2 weeks ago on this to just say, you know, this is a place that we would need to have understanding from God's word. In our text, Paul simply says, do not grow weary. It's an urging or an exhorting to let us not grow weary in doing good or doing well. He doesn't give any answer. He just states it. It's kind of in a way, recognize that you will be tempted. Don't go there. But there's an answer to not growing weary, losing heart. We're gonna dig into that today, to persevere in doing good. We need to understand what all that means. It's in God's word, and it's a simple answer. It's a simple answer, but it's big. Simple but big answer. Simply, to not grow weary, you need to draw near to God, draw near to Christ, trust in the Lord, believe in him. Deal with it in your walk with Christ, in the truth of God's word. He'll walk you through. Simple answer. But it's big, isn't it? It's big. It's a big answer. How that fleshes out in our lives is the big part. So we're going to try to touch on some of that today. Sometimes as you draw near and trusting in the Lord, seeking him and his word, he leads you to hope. Sometimes he leads you to joy, to peace. Sometimes he leads you to something about his sovereign hand or his promises or how his providence is overall in that work in the lives of everything going on. Or he leads you to his grace or his mercy shown you or his love toward you. Or like today, where we're going to go to, where we're going to end up at, is my focus will be on the steadfastness of Christ. The Lord leads us to his perseverance to help us persevere, for us to not lose heart. But it's a simple answer with a lot of big things that go with it, because it's God at work in your life. He knows the answer. It's the truth of God's word. It's the application of God's word, the implication of that truth applied to our life. But he knows you. He knows me. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows where you're losing heart at. He knows where you're growing weary at. And he knows the truth of his word, the truth of the reality of his salvation, the truth of what he is, who he is, why he came, what he did. He knows all of those things and how they're going to minister to you for you to not grow weary. But see, it's in relationship with him. You're going to grow weary if you're not in relationship with the Lord. I can guarantee it. Because there's no strength outside of him to not grow weary. And we all know that. We all try and challenge and get challenged with the different kind of things. But let's kind of pull this apart a little bit. And find our place. So let me just say this. It's... the simple answer, it's always drawing near to the Lord, believing his word, trusting in him. For it's in him that leads you from or out of growing weary or losing heart. Him and the truth of his word brings perseverance. It is him, how he does it's big. So look at verse 13 with me. Let's just kind of dig into this and let the richness of God's word really minister to our hearts today in the areas of life that maybe we do grow weary, or God wants to speak to us not to. First, Paul says, but as for you, brethren, or as for you, brothers and sisters in Christ. In Greek grammar, you, brothers and sisters, is in the emphatic position. I know you guys grammar and all that. You don't need to know all that. But in the emphatic position, meaning the major emphasis of the verse is you. Change it for you? And it's a contrast. But you, brothers and sisters, that's the emphasis of the verse. All this is going on, and we got to hold them accountable. We got a distant fellowship, and they're commanded to work. 11 and 12, right? And Paul admonishes them really strong one more time. And it's the third thing of third phase of church discipline. But it's but you. He's trying to grab your attention. He wants your attention. The Word of God wants you to say, okay, I got all that. Wow, this is, but you. He's contrasting those not working. You're not in unrepentant sin. You are participating in providing. It grabs your attention. You participating. Be not growing weary and doing good. Don't let all that stuff that's going on draw you down for you not to do good. There you go. There's a real important thing in life. We got to respond and we got to live for the Lord. We got to do the things. And the struggle that it is, don't let that draw you down. It isn't easy. It wasn't designed to be easy. God isn't mean. God isn't mad. God isn't against you if it's hard. Right? He's bigger than all of that. This is the emphasis. This is why he's doing this. God understands the reality of the weight of sin and circumstances. Do you think he understands? But you, seeking to live for me, don't grow weary. That's how that's said. That's a little different than just reading it, isn't it? His heart is for you, not to lose heart or to grow weary in doing good. He knows you do. He understands that you do. He's not saying, here's a trick, so you don't. He says, here I am, you won't. That's what we're going to understand today. And when you do, I'll get you out of it when you are. Now, what's doing good? They're doing good. What's doing good? Well, you know, they sweep the sidewalk. Hey, come on, kids, chores. What's doing good? I put my clothes away. You know, I actually took the food off the counter. It's been there a week. I put it back in the kitchen. I washed the dishes. That's doing good. Right? Some of moms say, that'd be real good if I could get them to do that. What's doing good? We got to identify that, right? Well, here, simply in the text, is they are participating and providing for themselves and for others as a church family, right? As they're like, they're seeing needs, they're seeing things going on, and they're working hard, and they're saying, here, I got a little help to help these people get fed, or I got, you know, how many of you pass down the clothes? Come on, raise your hand, ladies, you pass down the clothes. That's doing good. You see needs, right? And those kind of things. How many of you receive clothes? Okay. God, some of you don't want to participate in this today. Doing good, two Greek words put together for make one compound word. Kala poieo. Kalas, good. Poieo means to do. Put together, compound word. To do is to act. Good is how you act. It's that simple. This is what he's talking about. Let's get into what doing good is. Kalos means good, genuine, honest, profitable, virtuous, harmonious, righteous. In conduct, character, choices, and actions. You get that? It's in your conduct, character, choices, and actions that you do things that are good, genuine, honest, profitable, virtuous, harmonious, righteous. That's what God's word means here, doing good. I read that fast. Those would be hard to write all those down. Good, genuine, honest, profitable, virtuous, harmonious, righteous. Good. Kalos. Greek word, definition of it. And says to do that. It's do that. Don't grow weary in doing that. That's what he's talking about. And so he's identifying what they were doing was good. That they're participating in providing for themselves and for others in church family, caring about the needs. Let me simplify it. Here's one you might want to write down. I kind of put all that together, put it really simple, so it would just stick in your brain. To act in character and conduct. To act in character and conduct. Virtuously and righteously. That's doing good. And whatever you got before you. Don't grow weary doing that again. Doing that, that's what he's saying. Here in our passage, it's participating to provide for others, even if others don't. So participating, that's to act in character and conduct with virtue and righteousness. That's what he's talking about. It's not hard to see. He says people don't grow weary because other people in the character and conduct have no virtue and righteousness in the way they're acting in regards to what God's asking them to do. How important is that, you guys, in the world that you live in? You look around the world and they're not acting virtuously or righteously in conduct and character in many things within our country. And God says, don't grow weary because they don't. Keep doing it. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Keep doing it. Let's expand on this a little bit. All Christians are to seek to act in character and conduct with virtue and righteousness in everything God has for us. Doing well, it's doing good. We're all in the process of learning that, growing in that, maturing in that. Sanctification's happening in my life, your life. So we can identify all these things where we're not. It is to be the character and conduct every Christian seeks. Virtuous and righteously. Virtuously and righteously we act in conduct and character. We can become like Christ because of Christ in our walk with him, the Lord. He is walking with us in that direction because of our salvation. This is the hope that we can have all these things in life. And I gave you many verses in your outline that speak of doing good. You can see them all in there. I'm not going to go through them all. When I first did this and wrote them down, I went through them all. Took me about an hour and 40 minutes to get up here and do this. And I was like, I don't think they want to hear all those verses. I don't think I want to talk that long. But they're there for you. And they're very impactful. Many verses in the outline that speak about doing good. In all kinds of scenarios, God tells us about acting in character, conduct, virtuously and righteously. This church family is doing well. Doing good. Amen? Probably praise God for that. He's at work in our life. It's doing well and doing well in so many areas. And let me tell you, if there's an area that you're not doing well in, that's a different message, okay? That's a different message. We're going to talk about that you, in the areas that you're doing well, that you're doing things in act and character and conduct virtuously and righteously, those things you're doing, that you don't lose heart to continue doing them because of things that are going on in life. That's the message today. Maybe I'll come back next week, get the other side of that. That's our focus. Luke 6 speaks of doing good, acting in character and conduct righteously with your enemies. You could look that up, read that. Romans 2 speaks of your persevering in doing good, seeking God's glory with a heavenly mind. You can do well in that. You can be doing good at that. Hebrews 13 says you're to offer praise to God from your life, giving thanks to God, doing good, sacrificing for others. They're the same word. These are the same words, same things that I'm pulling out. It's all over Scripture. Galatians 6:10 says we're to do good to all people, meaning your character and conduct toward all people is to be righteous and virtuous. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, you're doing good in fixing your hope on the Lord, not riches, being generous. Romans 3:13 says, you're doing good as a citizen to your government in relationship with him and submitting authority. You seek and are acting in character and conduct virtuously in forgiveness, in repentance, in embracing the Lord's sanctifying work, in living for the Lord with your family, in raising your children, in doing your job and working at what you got to work at, in serving the Lord's church as you go through trials or you deal with temptations, in holding out the gospel. So this doing good or doing well is an identifying mark of Christian living, living for the Lord. It's the Lord's work that you do, right? Your toil is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It involves everything. It's living for Christ. That's what he's talking about. Now, this particular thing, they were participating in this, but that's living for Christ. And if you're doing well, you're doing good in it, it is identified as being genuine. Let me go back to my list. Identified as being genuine, honest, profitable, virtuous, harmonious. It brings harmony, righteousness. This is what he's talking about. This is what the Word of God is talking about. And when you're fighting and battling to do that, to live in this life, as much as we miss it, but when we're battling it, we don't want things in the world. God doesn't desires for us the things of life, the hard things of life, to help us grow weary or lose heart to keep doing it. Pretty important. Thankful for God's word. Just, you know, if I just took 1 and 2 Thessalonians and I went through that and I got the verses on there, we see that this church family in so many ways was doing good. They were becoming imitators of the Lord and they're following other Christians as they walk with the Lord. They became examples to others. The word of the Lord, the gospel truth, and salvation's life is sounding forth from them. They were receiving, believing the truth of God's word, applying it and to their walk with Christ. It was growing their lives incredibly. They sought to excel still more. They practiced love to each other, and they sought to excel still more. They sought to never repay another one for evil for evil. They sought to do what was good, same word, good, call us for one another. Their faith was flourishing. Their love was growing. They were enduring persecution and hope. They held out the gospel. They were standing firm in the truth that they were taught. They were doing what God's word commanded them to do. Like I said, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. Paul says, right, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The work of the Lord is all of that. It's just not telling somebody else about Christ. The work of the Lord is in my life, is working in my life so I do good in the things that God has called me to do good in and not lose heart in doing them. All the fruits of the Spirit, everything. You see how big this is? Do you guys see how big this is? This is not really, you know, we can get refining down here. Yes, the application in the text is the one thing, but to us, it's everything. And you might be going in your mind, I'm doing well here, not doing well there. Although, let's learn the lesson today that when we're growing weary, you're losing heart, when we recognize that in our life, what the Word of God is going to talk to us about, so we don't. You want strength for tomorrow? What if Holocaust comes tomorrow? You want strength for tomorrow? Well, you're going to need to know what he says about this kind of stuff, or do you want an easy life tomorrow so you just don't need strength? I'm with you. Easy life tomorrow so I don't need strength. We'll just take a vote. What do we want? But he's in charge, his sovereign hand. You know, none of this catches him off guard. In fact, in his sovereignty, what's going on in our country is exactly what he's allowed going on. You got to kind of grab that in your heart and mind. And I don't want to pick on our country and have us think about that too much. But what's going on in my life, in your life, and what's going on in our lives, God's allowing. Why? Change our lives. Salvation, sanctification. Those are the two works of God that's going on in the world. When he's done with salvation, we're gone. The church age, in that sense, give it a message. So everything in the life of the believer is the work of the Lord. Go ahead and turn your outline over. We are to be doing good. We're to seek to act in character and conduct with virtue and righteousness in all things with all people. That's what doing good means. Well is a good word for that. But we grow weary, we lose heart. Why? Now let me tell you why I put them together like that, why I say that. Growing weary and losing heart in everything but one verse. There's one verse that's different than that, because I say the same thing because they're basically the same terms in the Greek, just translated two ways. They're the same thing. It means to lose courage and quit, basically is what it means. Now remember last week in the commands? Commands come down. Advanced commands from the commander come down to the soldier and say, hey, you got to quit. Command you to start participating, command you, right? And they command the church, right? Commanded us, direct orders from the commander, right? This is another military tune. Losing heart means to lose courage and quit being in battle. That's the enemy against us. And we got to recognize that that's not what God has for us. But that's why I say growing weary, losing heart. And the reality is this, life happens, sin happens. The reality is this, life happens, sin happens. Physical, mental, spiritual challenges happen. And God desires us to be aware of growing weary or losing heart at doing well. That's what he wants for us. So this topic touches a lot, doesn't it? That's why it's a simple answer, but big. Let's see some encouragement in not growing weary and losing heart. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's see some word of God in this that will help us, and we'll kind of work our way through here. Again, I can't give you every answer because there's tons of them that God would use in your life to help you not grow weary and lose heart, not to lose your courage to standing for the Lord, to lose your courage to be a soldier in the battle for the Lord. And you know, we looked at last week, those that weren't following the commands of God, they had broke ranks. They said, no, I refuse, right? It was opposition to the commander. Here, it's not refusing. It's just losing courage and just say, I can't get out of the foxhole. God doesn't want that for us. He'll help us when we get there. Sometimes we get there. He wants us. That's the idea of all this language and what it's talking about. But you're there with 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 3, verse 18. Here the Apostle Paul is teaching on us living this new life in Christ. Let me just jump here in the text in verse 18. He writes this, but we all, with unveiled face, he's talking about when the Old Testament was read back in the Old Testament time when Moses was read, there was a veil over the people's heart, and they put a veil over Moses' face. But those that turn to the Lord, the veil's taken away. And so we can see the truth of God. We can understand God. Nothing hides God from us anymore as a Christian. Nothing hides God from you. Nothing. Satan tries to, but your face has been unveiled. You can understand the word of God. You can see the glory of God. You can see the glory of Christ. You can see the truth of Christ. You can see it all. It's whether you take the implications and the application and do that in your life, but you can see the truth. The veil's been taken away. This is what Paul's talking about. Nothing hides him from Christians. The enemy of God tries to get you focused on your flesh, focused on your misery, focused on whatever, and you say, I can't see God. And God's saying, I'm never went anywhere, and I gave you eyes to see, eyes of your heart to see. I give you ears to hear in your salvation. Here I am. I'm in my word. I'll speak to your life. He's not hiding himself from you. He's not holding himself back from you. It's all been unveiled. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. You can see all the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of his character, all of his attributes, all of his conduct, all of his actions and thoughts. You can see it all. You can see what he thought, how he lived, how he responded. You can see all his character and conduct in righteousness and virtue. In virtue. It's all through the Bible. It's in the Word of God. It's there for us to see, there for us to stand. From the beginning of time, God decided that Christians were going to be conformed to the image of Christ. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ before he made anything of the world, before he made you or any of us, and you came to Christ, and this is what he's doing. He's at work in our life as we gaze at the glory of Christ in the Word of God, the character, nature, attributes of Christ. We see him in his Word. This is what he's talking about. By divine power, look at what it says. You are being transformed. That's a word like metamorphosis into the same image from glory to glory, just as Lord from the Spirit. This is the work of God, a divine work. This is what he wants to do in your life. You have to embrace that, accept that, want that as a Christian. Recognize that that's what God's doing. There's a battle. I'm going to lose heart in that. I don't seem to change. It doesn't seem to make my marriage better. It doesn't seem to help my kids. It doesn't make my world better. It doesn't give me a better job. It doesn't give me... God's like, it wasn't intended for any of that. It's intended for you to look Christ and the testimony of Christ to go out through the world and give glory to God. It may have that impact. It may bring that into your life. It may change things like that. But that's the byproduct sometimes, not the intention. Are you with me, church? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Look what he says. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we don't lose heart. Listen, that ministry is going on every day in your life. Through every hard thing, through every difficult thing, through every tragedy, physical illness, through everything in your life, that ministry is going on. And God says, you have it because of my mercy toward you. It wasn't you were the good one or the nice one or the big one, a happy one. Or it's a grace and mercy. Nobody earned it. Nobody could buy it. Nobody deserved it. It's a mercy of God not to give you what you deserve. I gave you what I wanted to give you. And that's a life that God's going to work at and transform it to be like Christ. And I'm doing it, he says. So why would you lose heart? It's to help us not lose heart. So every hard thing, every difficult thing, every challenge you got going on, God's at work changing your life. He's the sovereign hand over it. Like David said in Psalm 16, you know, I set the Lord constantly in my vision. I see him before me all the time, but my lot fell where my lot fell. That's God's decide. Well, you don't change the world because of your decisions. God's at work in the world, you embrace his change. It's what it is. And so part of losing heart is not to recognize that what God is doing in your life through the midst of everything going on is a mercy and to help us to not lose heart, not to grow weary. That helps in hard times, doesn't it? I bet there's great testimony in here. I know there's great testimony in here. Where those truths like that rescued you out of growing weary of just following God. This is the reality of what is being taught to us today. This is the bigness of the reality of drawing near and believing his word and trusting in him. Doing good in character and conduct with virtue and righteousness is becoming like Christ. The reason you're part of the platoon is a mercy. You weren't better looking than anybody, even though we think we were. It's a mercy. Let's kind of move on here. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. This is rich and wonderful, and all these verses in here, if you look them up and kind of get into them, but look, let's just kind of continue with this. I have a bunch more written down, but I don't want to go long today, and I just want this to hit our heart and for us to be richly encouraged. Revelation 2. We'll start in verse 2 there. You guys know Revelation. You know the seven letters to the seven churches, right, by Jesus Christ. You know all that's in there. Such an important truth in verses 2 through 4 of chapter 2. Here the Apostle John's writing what Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus. We know this. Look at verse 2 and 3. He says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that sound like the most incredible thing? Standing for the truth of God's word, not listening to false prophets, persevering in the Lord's name, not growing weary. Isn't that incredible? Look at verse 4. But I have this against you, that you left your first love. Wow. Listen, it's not about I do good things. It's not about I do good. It's not about I'm to act in character and conduct righteously with virtue. I persevere. I don't lose heart. It's not about that. It's not about you taking up the mantle and saying the word of God told me I'm to do good. I'm to act in all character and conduct with virtue and righteousness. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to, but you left that it was about your love for Christ. It wasn't about your appearance or your behavior. See, they did it all. They did it all. Their perseverance and endured in my name. But Jesus said, but I have this against you. You left your first love. It's about I love the Lord. And out of my seeking to love him, he leads me to act in character and conduct with virtue and righteousness. Do you understand the difference? That's okay. A lot of us don't. I want you to grab that. Because we're not a church that looks like we act in conduct and character with virtue and righteousness. We want to be a church that in all appearance loves the Lord, and God is leading our lives to live the way God wants us to live. You understand the difference? Ephesus was doing so well, but they missed the point. It was a duty, an appearance. Moms and dads, grab this in your home. It's not about my kids got good behavior. Do they love Christ? The rest of it, we don't care. Right? Really, if they love Christ, yes, let Christ work in their life, promote it. But if they look good, I'm broken over. They probably don't know Christ because you made it about behavior. You see the difference? Paul wasn't saying it's about a behavior and you guys need to participate. It was about a love for the Lord, and they loved the Lord. And the ones that weren't, that needed to be admonished and even church discipline, was because their life wasn't about loving the Lord. Not because they had bad behavior. That's what we got to grab. We can't make it about what it's not about. It's not about controlled behavior. It's about love's response. It's the gospel. He loved me. He loves me. I seek to love him. And in my life, I seek to reflect my love for the Lord Jesus Christ by my character and conduct. It's my love's response. And sometimes I'm horrible at it. And you know what? He just loves me anyway. Because he knows who I am. And he says, don't lose heart. That's what he's talking about. It's the key to not losing heart or growing weary. If you've been doing it as a duty, as a behavior thing, you've lost courage and quit many, many times. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 with me as we kind of conclude today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There's a lot of helpful and wonderful truths in Scripture to give us perseverance in doing well or doing good. And God wants us to, and we can, and he's at work in our life. And you could evaluate your life and say, my conduct here is really not virtuous. My character here is really not even close to seeking to try to be righteous or Christ-like. And you can see those things, and the Lord will help you. But you don't want to grow weary even seeing those things, because it isn't about your bad behavior. It's about the love of the Lord and you and love of him working in your life. I put a few down for here to encourage you. You heard a couple of today, Isaiah 40. Pastor Brandt, thanks again for encouraging us. Just do the whole chapter. And 2 Corinthians 4, we looked at Revelation 2, Psalm 37, we looked a little bit at that. You can look at the whole psalm there. And the last week, I read some of Psalm 18, just different things about the truth of God. That's so important to be digging into the Word of God, because in those times that, moms, do you guys lose heart just trying to love your kids like God wants you to love your kids? We got any honest ladies that are going to say amen? I don't lose heart, Lord, in doing good and what you call me to do to love this child you want me to be intentional to, yes, to do all of the things that are physical you have to do, but intentionally sharing the truth of God with them or God's principles with them as they grow older and pointing them to the Lord. And I don't want the world run me over to where I don't have time to do any of those things. And this is real, you guys. This is real. This is what God wants in your life. But let's go where Paul went. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Look at it with me. He went to it just before all this when he said, "May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to steadfastness of Christ." Now, we went all over all of that. May, there isn't a prayer. It's a truth being presented. It's a benediction. He's declaring a truth. The Lord is going to lead you directly into the love of God, into the steadfastness of Christ in your relationship with him. If you seek it. If you seek a relationship with him, he's going to lead you. How much God loves you, how God loved you, how much the steadfastness of Christ and what it was, who he is, why he came, what he did. That's the three things you're going to learn in the Word of God. They all show the character, the nature, the attributes of Christ. And you'll never mine it out of all of the Bible. It's too rich and wonderful and full. But God's going to lead you directly there. That's what that meant, right? It was a confidence thing that he said. He's going to lead you directly. God will lead you directly, those who seek him, into the love of God, into the steadfastness of Christ. No doubt. Steadfastness, same word as perseverance, the perseverance of Christ. His perseverance was to obey the Father's will out of love for the Father in demonstration of his love for us. He first loved God, then he loved others. First two greatest commandments, there they are, they're the word of God. He loved the Father in his obedience to the Father's will, and it was a demonstrating love for us. Paul is saying God will direct you straight to the Lord's perseverance. I'm confident of it. One reason why, not to grow weary or lose heart. Is the perseverance of Christ. Draw near to him, believe his word, trust in him. Perseverance of Christ. You need to look at it all the time. It's the gospel. We need to preach it all the time. Right, guys? To ourselves, to our family. Wait a minute. The mercy and grace of God, the love of God, the perseverance of him. Let's look at the perseverance in one place. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. We'll just shortly look at this, close for today. But we could dig into this, look at the perseverance of Christ, the steadfastness of Christ. His face was set like a flint on getting to the cross, sacrificing his life as a substitutionary atonement for those that would believe in him so they could be reconciled back to God, restored to God. They were a gift of the Father to the Son, and he could give them eternal life. And at one time, at the end of all of this, the Son's going to give them back to the Father. This is a love thing going on. It's a relational thing going on. The steadfastness of Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Look at it with, or 1 through 3. Look at it with me. The Lord, lead us directly to your steadfastness as we look at your word this morning. The Bible says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Did you hear what that said? The great cloud of witnesses are those that persevered in faith from Hebrews 11. That's the cloud of witnesses that we have in our life, those that have persevered to stand firm. Now, they waned, they struggled. Let me how I wrote that down. They lost their courage, some of them for an extended period of time, but some of them not for long. They did. They wearied. So will you. But then they sought the Lord and gained strength. They're the witnesses. They're in this church. They're in your life. They're in the Word of God. They're in great biographies. They didn't do it alone. They didn't do it on their strength. They're not great people. The steadfastness of Christ carried them through. I could give you hours of testimony in my life how it's happened, and you can too. It's the reality of life. It's a great cloud of witnesses. It's what God has done in the world through people in their lives. That's what all that is about that faith that went on. Sin in your life entangles everything. That's what it says. Every encumbrance, those are things that aren't sinful but are overwhelming. But let's just talk about sin. Sin, you have to lay sin aside. If you don't lay sin aside, if you're just going to sin, I don't care. It's sin. It's just going to be sin. I know it's sin. It's just going to entangle everything, and the witnesses don't matter. that you see, because the perseverance doesn't come from somebody that just says, you know, sin isn't an issue. It's always an issue in our life. We have to deal with it, but we have to lay it aside. We have to not let it entangle us. It's still going to come up. It's still going to happen. Let us run with endurance the race set before us. Perseverance, same word. Steadfastness. So God says we're to run the race before us, race of faith with endurance, perseverance. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, fixing the eyes of your heart on the one that loves you. That's where I brought that up with David. Psalm 16, David said, I set the Lord constantly before me. He's constantly in my vision. Fix your eyes of your heart on the one that loves you. That's how he authored your faith. And he's going to be the finisher of it. Jesus has ran the race of faith before you did. He knows how to run it with perseverance. He endured. He did it. He didn't lose heart. Look at verse 3. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Greek words, same thing, two things. Grow weary, lose heart. Really not much difference in them. Consider the gospel. Amen? That's why we need to preach the gospel, and all preachings to be Christ-centered. It doesn't say consider you, consider your goals, consider your gladness, consider your peace, consider... It doesn't say any of that. This is about not losing heart. It said consider, to reckon in your mind and heart. Consider the grace and mercy given you. Consider the love demonstrated toward you. Consider the Lord's steadfastness. Remember the Lord Jesus, so you keep your courage and don't quit, is what it's saying. It's in him, with him, by him in your life. As you draw near to him, believing his word, trusting in him, his steadfastness becomes yours by God's divine power. That's the Father's will. That's our relationship with him. All of us grow weary at times. Anyone that has been rescued out of it has turned to the Lord. I'm confident of that. And nowhere other place. To believe in his word and to trust him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning and for just this one verse and the truth that began in it, that Paul just states. Just encourages a church that is doing good, and the things that are right before them, that God's called them to do good, and Paul recognizes that because others struggle in doing good, even take advantage of those living in character and conduct with virtue and righteousness. Take serious advantage of it and don't even consider it. We live amongst them. They can be in the church family as it was here. And we see those things and we recognize those things. And the truth of the word is that God does not want us to lose our courage to live for the Lord in all the areas that we have in our life. He knows that we will. He knows that we struggle with it. But he's the answer to it all. Always has been, always will be. And thank you for the testimony of Christ's steadfastness. It will always be that encouragement to us to remain faithful to our calling. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great day. Good Memorial Day weekend.